Well, do keep, if you want to, 103 John chapter 12. Some traditions that we as Christians have are very, very good. And one tradition which has been in the church since the early days is using Lent and Holy Week, especially Holy Week, as a time of self-examination. To look at your life, to see how it measures up to what God wants. Because let me remind you, Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, all things work together for good for those who love God, in order what? 8, 29, in order that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. He wants to make us more like Jesus. That's God's aim for every single disciple. And so as we examine ourselves, we ask questions. Have we made any progress since last Palm Sunday, since last Good Friday, since last Easter? I think that the events on Palm Sunday can be very, very helpful in this. All four Gospels talk about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now, I know that if God thinks something's important, he puts it in his word, doesn't he? Now, imagine if he puts it four times, how incredibly important he must think it. So, let's look at the different things that go on. Let's look at Jesus first. What he did, but probably even more important, who he is. Who he is. The first thing we notice is that he's in total command. Everything that he did through that Holy Week, Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, Gethsemane, the cross, and the resurrection, he was completely in command. He is the king. Luke tells us that he rode on a colt, the foal of a donkey, who'd never been ridden before. Just a little glimpse. Now, a colt who'd never been ridden before, with all that crowd, all that noise, the palms and the cloaks and everything, do you think he would have been easy to ride on? No. But it just shows us the amazing command that Jesus has. Now, the first question she'll be asking, is Jesus your king? Is Jesus the one who tells us what to do and we follow him? For I know there are many false Christs. Jesus said there would be. So many different sects there are. And I've talked to people over the years who said they were followers of Jesus, but it's not the Jesus I'm following. It's not the Jesus of the New Testament. It's our own idea. So the important thing for us is to follow the real Jesus. And we can only do that if we love him. That's the secret of discipleship, loving Jesus. I met somebody recently who said to me, I was a church leader, but I no longer am a church leader. I hardly ever go to church. I occasionally read the Bible because I think I ought to. I occasionally pray because I think I ought to. She said, I know that that is no good, and what I should be doing is loving him. That is the secret of discipleship. That is the secret of making Jesus our king. Jesus at the Last Supper said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. That's a wonderful promise. didn't say, if you love me, keep my commands. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. That's all the difference. The more we love Jesus, the easier it is to obey his commands. The first thing, he is in command. Secondly, he knew the Bible. He knew God's plan. A vicar very many years ago said that the Bible is God's great rescue plan. Jesus knew that plan from beginning to end. Zechariah, who'd lived 500 years before Jesus, wrote those words down about the king riding into Jerusalem. He knew the Bible, and he put it into practice. That's the second question. Do we know our Bibles, and do we put it into practice? Of course, in your own strength, you can't do it. But wonderfully, God has given us his Spirit, and through the power of the Spirit, we can put it into practice. Without the Holy Spirit, and those who do not believe in Jesus have not the Holy Spirit, you can't put it into practice. You can say to people, this is what you ought to do. It can't be done. He knew the Bible. He put it into practice. Thirdly, he rode on a donkey. Not a horse. If he'd come as a conquering king, he would have come on a horse with swords. And he didn't, did he? He came on a donkey. Because he came in humility. That is one of the amazing things about the Lord Jesus, is his humility. The more you know about Jesus, the one who created this whole universe, who created each one of us, amazing. He humbled himself, even to death on a cross. He humbled himself. Do you remember he washed disciples' feet in his humility? Both James and Peter say to us, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will raise you up in due time. He's in command. He knew the Bible, his humility. Now, I've got a visual aid today. This is Jerusalem. It's looking from the Mount of Olives across to Temple Mount. Now, the people who are going to be more blessed than anybody else today are going to be the choir, because they're close enough. You at the back, you're going to have to use your imagination. This is too far away. But that's good. Use your imagination. Jesus came on the Mount of Olives. He looked across. What did he do? He wept. He wept. Luke tells us he wept. Kathy, you're smiling. It's all right. It's all right. He wept. He had compassion. He said, oh, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. If only you had responded to this wonderful message that I'm bringing. But you're not going to. You're going to put me to death on that cross. So he looked across. And what was the first thing he did? Well, no, let's just backtrack slightly. The people coming out from Jerusalem, what did they do? They brought palm trees. It's Palm Sunday, because the Feast of Tabernacles was the first time the people, the Israelites, were told to take palm trees and wave them. And actually, at their festivals, that's what they did, because the palm is a symbol of victory. It always has been, and it always will be. Secondly, they put their cloaks on the road, didn't they? Why was that? Well, go back to the Old Testament. Jehu was the king. What did they do? As soon as they were told Jehu was the king, they put their clothes, their cloaks on the ground in order that he could walk across them. Do you remember Sir Walter Raleigh? I won't go on too far about him. Yes. He put their cloaks. And what do they shout? Hosanna, which means save. Save us. It was a good word, wasn't it? Save us. They said, you're the king, you're the king. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He is the king. What was the first? Mount of Olives is quite high. What do you have to do to get to Temple Mount? Thank you, that's kind of you. You've got to go down. Now, Steve has told me I've got to be really careful because I fall off here. It's all right, he's pulling me with strings from the back. You've got to go down, haven't you? He had to go down, and at the bottom of the valley was the Garden of Gethsemane. They passed it. And he knew that on the Thursday, the Maundy Thursday, he would have to be there. And he would have to fight that amazing battle. He sweat blood, didn't he? And he prayed that deepest of all prayers. Father, not what I want, but what you want. Isn't that the secret of discipleship? To humble yourself, to go down and down and down, right to the bottom, and pray that prayer. Not what I want, but what you want, Father. And that is repentance, actually. And repentance is not just when you become a disciple of Jesus. It's the whole of your life. It's a continuous process. Because I know that the closer you get to Jesus, the more you realize your sin, your selfishness, the more the wonderful fact that Jesus has forgiven us, he's shed his blood. We need to continue to repent and repent. So they got to the bottom, and now they come to the wall. Now, this wall here was actually made by the Muslims. When King Henry VIII was on the throne, 538 and 39 took 2 years to build. They built that wall. Suleiman the Magnificent was the caliph. We've been hearing about caliphs recently, haven't we? But in those days, the wall wasn't there. And right on the edge, on the north side, the northeast side of this east wall, was the Temple Mount. So they come up to the Temple Mount, and the way into the Temple Mount was apparently through the Red Heifer Gate, because they took a heifer out to sacrifices. That's why it was called Red Heifer Gate. They came up to the gate. There was a tremendous crowd, and there was a division. The people closest to Jesus went with him into the temple precincts, the court of the Gentiles. But most of the people who had shouted Hosanna to the king, they were much more interested in getting the Romans away. They wanted the Romans out, the conquering people. And on the northwest face, if you know Jerusalem, in those days, was the fortress Antonia. And that's where these Roman soldiers were. Most of the crowd evidently weren't interested in so much in following the real Jesus. They wanted a conqueror. And so they swept on past the gate. They went on towards the fortress Antonia. Jesus, who'd raised Lazarus to life, surely he could get rid of the Romans. That's what was going on in their minds. Now, some of them probably realized that they weren't actually following Jesus any longer. And they probably turned back to find out where he was. But some of them went on regardless. Now, it's a really good lesson for us, because all of us, from time to time, are going to go our own way, because that's what it is, going our own way. In the Bible, it's called sin, isn't it? We're going to go our own way. What are we going to do? Are we going to go turn round? That's for repentance, isn't it? Turn round and go back to Jesus. Or are we going to just carry on in our way, what we want? Interesting, isn't it? It's really. Have you thought about that before? It's a very interesting point about Palm Sunday. Well, let's go on with Jesus into the Temple Mount. There was the money changers. He was overturning the temples. He threw them all out, the people changing money, everybody out. And what was Jesus doing? He was throwing the gauntlet down to the Jewish authorities. Up to that point, he'd remained hidden very often. He'd been in the background. But now he was saying to them, I am the king. What are you going to do about it? And of course, what they wanted to do was to put him to death on the cross. Now think of the disciples. What were they feeling? I think, first of all, they were actually very surprised. They didn't expect Jesus to do that at all. I know in my own discipleship that following Jesus is often a tremendous surprise. I was telling Steve earlier on, there's a book, when I first got to theological college, and I do apologize, Steve, I went to a different theological college. But anyway, I got there, and the very first book they told us to read was The God of Surprises. I wonder if anybody's read that. It's a long time ago, no? Nearly 40 years. Anyway, yes, when you follow Jesus, there are surprises, one after the other. Amazing. I'm surprised to be even here today. It's extraordinary. I'm the sort of person who loves being right in the back pew there. Well done, I can just see it in the back. Yeah, normally I would be with you, but surprise, surprise, he's put me up here. He loves surprising us. Don't ever put God in a box. Don't think you've got it all sorted out. There's so much more that Jesus wants to give us. But secondly, I think probably they were very frightened. What Jesus was doing was definitely going to have results. And it probably meant that Jesus would die. And with them, they would die. But what did Jesus say? He constantly said to them, don't fear. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I am Almighty God. Nothing is impossible to me. All things are working for good for you if you love God. So, whoever you are, whatever your condition, use this week to be asking a few questions. Am I making progress? Use the Last Supper, Thursday. Use Friday. See again Jesus dying for me and for you. And then come to Easter Day. But don't go straight to Easter Day. It's such a temptation. Don't miss out the cross. If you go straight to Easter Day, then actually it's not going to mean anything to you, because by Easter Monday, it'll all be gone. Go to the cross. Then the wonder of the resurrection. Whoever you are, whatever your condition, stay close to Jesus this week. He wants to do so much for each one of us. His invitation is going out so powerfully. Will you respond to it? As he draws you to himself, as he draws me to himself, I need more. Will you respond to his invitation and say to him, Lord Jesus, I'm coming. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, you love us so, so much. And your invitation to each one of us, wherever we are, in whatever condition we are today, help us to use this Holy Week Help us to surrender our lives more deeply to you, to be drawn to you. And thank you so much that you died for us and you are alive forevermore. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who gives us everything we need to be faithful disciples. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we thank you today and always. Amen.